sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 58. Knuckle up, put 'em up. I put two and two together, and I came up with four. You're forever, for God forbid, and shouldn't have to say much more. I've been through more crews than a flu, yet I'll show you. You're so damn scrap. I bet you Bo don't know you. Oh! Cut it out. You try to get cool and say peace, say that peace for a jigsaw. Sit back and watch a real MC get raw. I never know when another will come to diss this. But if and whenever they come, I'm running this merry fist miss. Oh! We gotta keep going. I shook up the crew and shook up the fake to get like a quick stick. It's just another one done and dismissed. Kitty, guard your grill. Well, be for real. You ain't built. I'm silly. Ho smacking MCs on a 90 degree tilt. The reason that it's tilted because you're guilty, too hard to guard. It's not that you're trying to, he says gay, I think he's being homophobic, so I'm going to skip that one and say you're trying too hard. Man, I'm not sure what that means by that. I am so confused by that line. But since it's the 90, I'm going to see if it's homophobic. Focus me. All right. How hard can you be? Excuse me. How hard can your guard be? I say, what's up? Guard your grill, knuckle up, put 'em up.
Message.
That was a little challenging to get through, but that's not the point. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Ding 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 ding. Before I start the show, I need to inform you listeners, especially new ones, this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who have felt like an outcast and grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 14, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. I don't know what just happened. It's like my brain my brain and eyes were conflicting with what I was reading. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We got through it. That verse was powerful. Guard your grill. But I'll explain it later. Oh, wait. Yeah. All right. Hey, yeah. Okay. We got through the intro. Okay. So just to help you new listeners get a little situated or familiar with this podcast. See, what I like to do is I like to break down my episodes into three parts, three acts, like in a play. And first act is the intro, which is what I'm doing now. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act, final act, is final thoughts. And final thought is like the moneymaker. It's the headliner. It's what you came here for. It's usually related to the title and related to an idea that's been weighing heavy on me. But before I get to the final thought, I like to, do the intro just to, this is the part where, if this was a show, you do while people get situated in their seat, order their drinks and, get comfortable and any introduction, let's to remind you, so far you've heard the theme, the title of the episode, some poetry, which relates to the final thought. And a little introduction, today's date, and one last thing I like to do during the intro is share some quotes. And the first one goes like this. You've mastered the art of bouncing back. Now it's time to master not having to. Let me hit like. Shout out to my man Talal Macy for posting this on his Instagram. Second one. Oh, again, from Talal Macy. Yep. For those familiar with this podcast, most of my quotes come from Talal Macy. Anyway, it is what it is. Second quote goes, people with too much free time and no meaningful purpose always create drama out of thin air. Avoid them. Yeah, but what happens if you work with them? Yeah, that's a different story. All right, okay. Like. And this concludes the introduction. All right, okay. Now, here's hoping that you've had your first sip of spirits. You smoke your weed, because this is a weed-friendly podcast. And, let's get the show started. Shall we or shall we not? Shall we it is. Here we go. Oh, my God. Okay, look, hold on a second. My eyes are dry as fuck. Hold on a second. I don't know what that's about, but like I'm dying here. I'm hoping that sip of water, what's that word? Humidifies the parts of the body or provides or moistens the part of my body that needs to be moistened. All right, okay. Apparently some of you people hate the word moist. I don't know what that's about, but just so we know, that's not my problem. All right, use a random thought. Okay, I gotta give you a heads up. First of all, happy VD Day to all of you. Get yourself checked on this great day of VD Day. You know, you call it Valentine's Day, I call it VD Day. this episode I think is going to be, I'm gonna focus less on entertainment and more on sticking to the part that I say that this is meant to be a public journal. I know in the show notes I may have written personal journal. No, this is a public journal, kind of like an open letter. And I, okay, where I'm getting at is a lot of the content in news and random thoughts, all of them are random thoughts. And I've noticed that some of this shit is potentially heavy and I might go off. But I'm still going to put up a timer for myself. But, usually I think the idea of using random thoughts to be light, like jab, jab, jab. And final thought is the knockout blow. But this thing is a bunch of jabs and knockout blow. But who knows? Whatever. I'm just looking at some of these subjects and, yeah. Just the intro alone, this intro is going longer than it needs to go. All right, okay. Let's start. Let's go. Let's go for this. Now, I'm going to play this next clip and start off by saying I am getting closer to finding my tribe. Just a quick brief intro. Since episode one, straight out of therapy. That's what it was called. I call it the manifesto episode. I started with the notion of I'm part of what I'm hoping to accomplish with this podcast is finding my tribe. I probably didn't use those exact words, but that's exactly what I'm getting at. And on this journey, I'm starting to realize what I mean by my tribe, or I'm getting closer to picking out the characteristic of this so-called tribe. But before I do that, I'm going to play this clip of a content creator who made me realize. It's a clip about neurodiversity, but I'll play it because homie explains it way better than I can in an intro. So here we go.
Unmute. Completely surrounded myself with neurodivergent people in my life now, and now when I encounter a neurotypical person, it feels like they're the one with the mental disorders. Like, I don't have ADHD. You're the one with attention excessive hypoactive disorder. We're being socially awkward when we talk about hyperfixations or special interests. No. That's because you have an inability to develop intense, sustained passions for as long as we can and info dump to each other. Your conversational abilities are limited to small talk, and when we storytell, you can't keep up with us, and it's too confusing, because we tend to talk in circles and circles and tangents in a way that you just can't keep up with. You want to accuse us of being bad at making friends when we're the ones who can develop intense, instantaneous connections with people we've never even met before once we allow ourselves to fully unmask and bond with each other. We cut through the BS, and it allows us to have really authentic relationships when you guys are the ones stuck at surface-level friendships. I genuinely feel like I can't develop deep friendships with supposedly neurotypical people because the ones I have with my neurodiverse friends are so much deeper, to the point where it feels like people who are neurotypical, they're the weird ones.
Oh, wow. Sorry. I realized he was repeating himself. Okay. Yes. So I really like what he was saying is, I've gone through life as I didn't know I was a neurodivergent person. I just know I've been. I just thought I was fucked up. And I like how homie flips it and being like, no, you know what? Fuck it. I'm tired of going through life like I'm the oddball. And before I continue, let me give the quick definition of neurodiversity from Wikipedia, right? And it goes, neurodiversity is a framework for understanding human brain function and mental illness. It argues that diversity in human cognition is normal and that some conditions classified as mental disorders are differences and disabilities that are not necessarily pathological. The framework grew out of the autism rights movement, oh, impressive, and builds on a social model of disability, arguing that disability partly arise from societal barriers rather than attributing disability purely to inherent deficits. It instead situates human cognitive variation in a context of biodiversity and politics of minority group. Exactly. Some neurodiversity advocates and researchers argue that neurodiversity paradigm is the middle ground between a strong medical model and a strong social model. The neurodiversity paradigm has been controversial among disability advocates. Oh, I didn't know that. With opponents arguing it risks downplaying the suffering associated with some disabilities, and that it's call for acceptance of things some would wish to be treated. Interesting. All right, okay. I remember the first time. First of all, I got to say that my life changed when I became friends with someone who was diagnosed with ADHD. And it's not that she was just diagnosed, it's she was very knowledgeable of the subject. And hearing her talk about her struggles and how she's got to make make adjustments for those struggles. For example, showing up on time, remembering things, staying focused on a conversation, not cutting you off and doing shit like that. Like, the things she needed to do it was a lot of things that I was able to relate to. I'm like, oh, shit, so you're saying there's a possibility that the reason I'm always late, it's not because I'm black? It's the way I process time or things like that. See, I'm not gonna go too deep into it, right? All I was just gonna say is, I remember going through school, hating school, because school had this expectation that for you to make it, you need to behave, process information this way. There's only one way to do it. There's only one way to God. To process things. And because I couldn't do any of these things, I managed to go through the entire school system feeling stupid. Despite the fact that I love learning, despite the fact that I read books that weren't even assigned to me, like, I had a thirst for knowledge, but yet in school, process this. On one end, I love to learn. On the other end, I hate school. School is supposed to be that spot. That's not my point. My point is, I would have had a better time in school if there would have been a time to acknowledge that, oh, this motherfucker processed things differently. Anyways, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD, with ADD, but by society's member, my brain is fucked up. And what I mean by that, I'm kidding, but I'm saying I acknowledge. It used to be something that I used to be ashamed of, but it's something that I've always known. I process information. I process the world, this experience of life, differently from most people. I don't know if it's a majority or whether it's just the people that I grew up with or in my circle. You know what's funny is I'm thinking about a cousin of mine who, when I told him that I had to shop at the Big and Tall store and I had longer arms and had longer arms than the average human being. And he goes, that's not true. You're fucked up. I laugh. I laugh. How he meant is irrelevant, but it just reminded me of my upbringing. Everything that made me different, like, what's that Kanye West song? Everything I'm not makes me everything I am. Except I grew up with the notion, everything I'm not makes me fucked up. Now, getting back to what I was saying about tribe. So, needless to say, as I'm getting ready to form my tribe, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm kind of hoping you fall in this category. You'll join my tribe if you happen to be, well, a motherfucking outcast. But three traits I can identify off the bat. One, neurodivergent. I'm not speaking against neurotypical folks. I'm saying neurodivergent people. Like, this is supposed to be a safe space for neurodivergent people. Two, non-binary. And what I mean by non-binary, I mean when they say ladies and gentlemen and everything in between, I'm talking about y'all in between. Now, for me, I don't know. I need to explore the world of non-binary, I'm not talking about sexuality. I'm not talking about whether you're attracted to the same or the opposite sex. What I'm talking about is your identity. How do you define yourself? And if you're in the category of people who, like, yeah, call me a man or call me a woman, it's not like I need to. I'm a bit of both. Who are comfortable being able to say a bit of both. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, that's a longer conversation, but I'm going to go with non-binary. And the last one is highly sensitive people. Oh, and black. Yeah, for sure. Black. Oh, my God. What the fuck? If you fall outside this category, I'm not saying you're not invited, but I am saying that you need to understand that this is our house. Kind of like hip-hop. You better treat hip-hop like you're in a room and like you're in Brooklyn, you know, show your respect. Anyways, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. See? All right. 10 minutes have gone by and my eyes are dry, but let's keep going. Yeah, and this concludes. Yeah, my tribe. But I'm working on it. This is still a work in progress. Like I wrote on my, like in the description. I'm not sure if I still have it there. In the about us of this podcast, I said, just like this podcast, though, just like this podcast, everything I write in here is a work in progress. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's jump to this. All right. So this kind of enjoyed watching. The title goes, audience walks out on comedian who jokes about George Floyd. You know what? I'm going to play this motherfucker and then share some thoughts. Okay, so here we go.
And you wanted to show them the reason George Floyd got his neck nailed on.
I'm going to pause. He said, you want to show them the reason why George Floyd got his neck nailed on.
Don't ooh at that joke. It's just a joke, man. I would have never kneeled on George Floyd's neck. I would have shot that nigga. That was making us look.
You know about George Floyd before you get your ass up there talking.
It's called comedy, nigga. How many more black fans I got to hear that might leave? Oh, good shit, man. I got. Because, nigga, I was just warming up with that George Floyd shit.
There's a lot of white people in the audience.
You ready to go? All right, baby. Okay. All right, you offended too, baby, with the braids? Right. You offended too? God damn, man, fuck. Y'all good? Or y'all about to...
I'm not going to play the whole thing, but long story short, I just wanted for you to hear the joke, and I love what, so I got this from real, this again on Instagram, Real DL Hughley. I'm not sure if he actually wrote it himself or someone else wrote it, but he wrote this. He goes, comedy and stupidity are not the same thing. Amen, brother. You can argue that nothing is off limits in comedy, but the great philosopher Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Let me go with my notes first. I said first. As a highly sensitive person, even when I wasn't aware of it, I've always stayed out of jumping into what's offensive and what's not offensive. No, not what's offensive, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Because in my mind, everything's... I can be triggered by the smallest thing. I can misunderstand, but... I don't process jokes the same way other people do. So it's to the point where I'm like, look, maybe that made you laugh, but it didn't make me laugh. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I'm not going to... Like, I do have a collection of problematic comedies, but I don't brag about it. I say, yeah, I listen to this homophobic, sexist shit, anti-this, anti-that, like, what's his name? Andrew Dice Clay. Remember when he came out? I wouldn't brag about... No, better, Don Rinkles. When he passed away, I was like, RIP. That dude was an asshole. But he made me laugh. But I didn't... Here's the point what I'm getting at is I never partake in the what's acceptable or what's unacceptable debate because I always feel that no one will ever agrees with me. And it's like, okay, what is society accepting now? So I remember when this asshole made this joke and my first instinct was like, oh, wow. Are we at that level of that? Like, is George Floyd jokes are now acceptable? Like, I thought I was about to watch a video about he was going to make his joke and the comment section were going to be filled with people saying, well, people are too sensitive, man. Fuck, it's just a joke and blah, blah. Because remember, the asshole kept saying, it's a joke, it's a joke. you can see, I'm annoyed by the dude's joke. This is the second time I hear it. And I recognize that, this motherfucker just said the equivalent of, see, that's why a nigga got caught in slavery. Or that's why niggas get shot. It's like, it's one of those jokes of we deserved racism. And the only people who usually make those kind of jokes are, I was going to say Christians. No, I mean, I was going to say is the Uncle Ruckus among us. I love the comment section. I jumped in the comment section and everyone was like, yeah, fuck that nigga. Fuck that nigga. And one person commented it out. It's like, a lot of white folks in the front row. And that joke reminded me of a realization or a promise I made to myself is, because I'm from Ottawa, right? I'm a token black guy surrounded by white people. Canada in general, right? And I said, if I ever get to a point in comedy where the only people laughing are white people, like the only people coming to my shows are white people, as I make black jokes, I quit. Because a lot of my jokes are based on, like, they're meant to be, it's intentionally funny, but it comes from a pain. And the idea of white folks laughing at a joke stemming from racism. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm gonna stop myself from trying. Like I had an image of a white person, and I was explaining my point to a white person who was just going dismissive. I saw, what do you say? White people can't laugh at your jokes? Nah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I make jokes and only white people are laughing, especially wearing hoods, like, yeah, tell us more about niggers dying, you know, how niggers die each day. Yeah, I quit. Where am I going with? Yeah, so all this to say, oh, his joke reminded me of probably a problem I had with the comedy community in Ottawa. Maybe it was not just Ottawa, but it was the atmosphere at the time. This is during the 2020 age, before George Floyd. And there was this atmosphere of, I think it was the beginning of people are too sensitive. What the fuck? Essentially, people are too sensitive was the new self-defense mechanism for mediocre comics, for unoriginal comics, for piece of shit comics who go on stage for their own gratification. It's like, I'm on stage, I'm going to say some shocking shit, and I need you to pretend like you find it fucking funny. I need you to laugh, and if you don't find it funny, pretend like you find it funny. Shut the fuck up. Join the lab. You know, don't be a party pooper. Smoke this heroin. Like, I fucking hated that era of comedy. I mean, it still exists, but I hated that era of, oh, it's not that I'm not funny, it's you're too sensitive. And I say this as someone who's had his fair share of laughing at jokes for the sake of sparing a comedian's feelings. And I wasn't that racist. Yes. Tell me more. Tell me more about the black guy who was hanging from a tree. Yes. Yes, show me. Why did the chicken cross the street? To lynch a nigger. I've never heard that joke. But I'm just saying, growing up in the white gaze, and it is just... And it's not just... Okay, I know I'm talking a lot about white people, but it's just people using comedy as a way to hide the fact that they're awful human beings. It's like the new... I was having this thought about how... I forget what was I listening to? But they were talking about a white person making... doing some racist shit. The usual throw stones and hide your hand type shit. It's like, oh, I wasn't being racist. Okay, I'm going off topic, right? Well, I'm trying to get back to my point. My point is, when that guy kept saying, it's just jokes, it drove me nuts. And I could picture this guy, black guy, making that same joke in Ottawa, in my city, and being surrounded by people like, it's just jokes. There's a shout out. There's a content creator. I wasn't able to find her video. There's a content creator on TikTok, and she made a clip about... I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to summarize it. But instead of when someone says something that bothers you or that hurts your... whatever. That hurts you, whatever. Instead of going into, am I wrong for feeling like this? Or doing the whole math formula about therefore Like, I remember I was in a situation where someone used the N-word. Personally, I don't like the fucking usage of the N-word by white people. I just, period, right? Don't make any excuse for it. Don't need to make any elaborate explanation. And this is a conversation I would have with black people, right? I just don't fucking like it. All right? It just... I won't even go into explanation. I don't like it. Don't like it like the taste of, I don't know, black licorice. Not even worse than that, right? It's a sour taste in my ear, in my psyche. Now in this particular case, the person just dropped the N-word, whether they were reciting to Huckleberry Finn, whatever the fuck that name is, or whatever. But I remember thinking, oh, well, I'm not allowed to be upset because they didn't use it. They didn't call me nigger. They were just using it in a context, blah, blah, blah. Basically, I call it a fucking loophole. Now, despite the fact that I wanted to strangle this white person, you know, till they breathed their last breath, till they turned red, pink, whatever, purple. Besides, I was repressing that urge. I was like, nope, be safe. They were allowed. But what I love about this TikTok creator, it's like, instead of fucking figuring out, just accept the fact that, or the only reason, justified reason is, I didn't like it. You said something that I found offensive. And instead of going into the explanation of why do you think it's offensive, fuck you, that's what it is. And from there, it's we, you know, this is where we decide whether we're friends or associates. Yeah. Anyway, so long story short, yeah, I didn't like homie's joke, George Floyd. I mean, you know, I guess the key is, if you're gonna make a George Floyd joke, shit's gotta be funny. But saying shit like, see, and that's why his death was justified, nigga. Yeah, that's up there with, if it wasn't for slavery, we wouldn't have discovered Christianity. As if this whole line of thinking that all the bad shit that's happened to black people, they deserved it. And to all you coons who believe that shit, go fuck yourself. Yeah. So I'm going to end this segment with, I know this is a black guy, but he deserves a...
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
I love that clip. I look for any excuse to use that clip. All right, now, speaking of jokes that I didn't like. Oh, man, B, fuck, you're such a human, man. Fuck, man. I don't listen to your podcast to hear you be all sensitive. Don't know why you're listening. All right, Erykah Badu. Okay. Erykah Badu made a joke about the Super Bowl that I won't lie, I both chuckled and both didn't like, but not as bad as I hated that George Floyd joke. And the joke goes... Erykah Badu, perfect day to cheat with a soft dude. Men gonna be watching football. Shout out to those of you who are laughing. And shout out for those of you wondering, what's wrong with the joke? Nah, you know what? Nah. I'm kind of hoping you're not the type to listen to the joke. Unless you're genuinely curious about what I'm asking. And this goes back to what I was talking about building my tribe. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between. So as someone who subconsciously or not unintentionally, but subconsciously or unaware was an in-between zone or who's felt like in the in-between. Let me put it this way. I've given up on, and I've said this on several episodes, but whatever, new listeners. I've given up on the notion of being a real man. Of living up to someone else's definition of masculinity. I'm sticking to my own. I'm staying in my own lane, right? I'll shop in the men's section. I'll do some touch it, beat off to straight porn. I'm kidding. The whole non-binary thing is a longer conversation because I'm still figuring things out, right? But what I am saying is, people like me have to make peace with the fact that by by the Erykah Badus of the world. To them, you're not considered, you know, you're a soft dude. Now, she'll say that, hey, yeah, I was just joking, and I get it. No, because I could, a part of me, the one part sees the humor in there, right? Especially the part of me that jokes about, yeah, oh, good for me, I'm a soft dude. I'm not a real man. I don't watch football. But it's more the idea of dear Erykah Badu, Miss Conscious Sister, you're not helping. You're not. Or maybe she is stuck on that whole archaic definition of masculine. Maybe, holy shit, maybe she's talking shit about men who wear dresses. And because she is on that Conscious Hotep shit. Who knows? I don't know her well enough. But I will say that I laugh at that joke while being like, you're not helping, sister. But that joke also made me think of, okay, no wonder you ended up with Tyrone. No wonder chicks like you end up with Tyrone. You know what I mean? If you're like, this joke reminds me of a conversation that they were having on the 3GO podcast. Randall asked the ladies, I don't know how this conversation came about, but essentially, ladies, do you need to be with a man who can't fight? And I can tell you, man, I cannot be with a woman who expects me, not expects me to fight, but, well, let me put it this way, who says, yes, I need to be with a man who can't fight. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's going to be, like, if you rely on me, like, if physical safety is an issue for you, like, I'm a big dude, don't get me wrong, right? But I'd rather stay single than deal with a woman who's places the responsibility of her physical safety in my hand. Cause bitch, I'm gonna let you down. I'm like that. Shout out to Kevin Hart and his joke about big dude smacks his girl on his ass. I'm like, and he's like, yo, it's your fault. Oh my God, where am I going with this? Oh yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't get along too well with women who buy into this definition of masculinity, ultra masculinity, and all that shit. And men are men, and I mean, you know, to each his own. That's pretty much what I'm saying. Look, I'm in my 40s, man. This is like, know thyself. This is like, I am comfortable in who I am, and I'm no longer trying to impress, trying to bang every girl in the world. How's that line go? I wish I could fuck every girl in the world. I wish I could fuck every, oh, is that how the song goes? I wish I could fuck every girl, whoops, that's how you spell girl. Girl in the world. Every girl in the world. That's the song. Yeah. By Young Money. Like, that's young people. That's young people. Young band mindset. I wish I could fuck every girl in the world. So, not me. I mean, I remember those days. Probably had more testosterone back then. Now I'm like, hell no. Fuck that. Because some of them are going to want to have to talk after that. Gonna want to anyways. I'm sorry. I'm making a bad joke, but oh, right. My point is, in the immortal words of the great band New Edition, you know, you can be about it because I could do without it. I likely fucked up the line, but you know what I mean. So yeah. So you know, live your life, Erykah Badu, Miss Erykah Badu, and just gonna say, yeah, that joke didn't help. You can make that joke, but I don't have to like it. Oh, at the end, I remember she was commenting about how she said, yo, man, fuck, I was just making jokes. You don't need to be following me. And so I'm not going to that extreme. I'm not banning. Like, this is just, oh, okay, Erykah Badu, you're one of them. I'm still going to follow you in case you say, release the dope-ass app. I don't know why I'm following her, but I don't know. I'm still going to follow her. There's nothing, I'm not going to write in and be like, it is what it is. Yo, she's an old lady. Well, she's an older lady and sees the world like she was 16. You know what I mean. I'm trying to say something, not clever, but mature about mature response, but I can't see it. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it as didn't like the joke. All right, okay. Oh, so speaking of men ain't men anymore. Now, because of the time, I'm not going to play this clip. Actually, it won't make sense. It's one of those clips that you're better off watching for your own self. But I am going to say it's by Professor Neil on TikTok. And he speaks about, he addresses the notion of men are never as masculine as they once were. And in his explanation, I mean, he explains it better than I can. But the major takeaway from his clip is how he brings up the fact that, yo, the definition of masculinity has always been under, not just under review, but under criticism. Like, there's always been, every fucking generation has gone for their version of man ain't man anymore. Like, I'm trying to picture, I wouldn't be surprised that after emancipation, and what do you mean you don't own any slaves? What kind of man are you? You know what I mean? Like, as we make, okay, my favorite example. This woman from, was it Kenya? One of a country in Africa. It was a story I heard on, probably on the New York Daily podcast. Anyway, the story is about a woman who probably leaves her, who was a fugitive, not a fugitive, leaves her country in Africa, right? Might have been Ghana, whatever, right? But like, they still have those old school definition of masculinity over there. One of those countries. And she was saying how, refugee camp, there we go. She was in a refugee camp, and she ends up in the States. And she was talking about when she settled in the United States, and she settled in, and she was shocked to see men pushing babies in carriages, or men holding babies, men taking care of, changing diapers. She was like, yo, where I'm from, them niggas are bitches. But it's more the idea of how there was a time where, what the fuck? What do you mean you're doing dishes? What do you mean you're cooking for yourself? What do you mean you're ironing your own clothes? What the fuck? What is you gay? You know what I mean? I like that the definition of masculinity is constant under evolution. I like that I'm around. Oh my God, I don't believe I'm admitting this, but this is like a moment in Shut Up Podcast, in history permanent. But I like the fact that I'm in the, not war, but I'm in the category of men, or cis hetero males who are pushing back on the definition of masculinity, who questions it, or who doesn't. It's like, all right, fuck it. That's what you consider a real man? I don't have to be about it. I'm not, you know, fuck that. What? I got to slap a woman to be considered a real man? Yeah, I don't know about that. I have to pretend. I have to pretend to, you know, whatever. My point is, shout out to those of us pushing back on the, like, shout out to those of us escalating, who are working on the evolution of the definition of masculinity. Whew. Okay. All right. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now this is the part that might get heavy, right? Before we get to final thought. This last one, right? Did I mention it was, did I say Happy VD Day? It's Valentine's Day. I'll be honest with you. Full disclosure. I've never liked Valentine's Day. Even to the point that I get annoyed. I know there are people out there who, that's their greatest day. Like, they love Valentine's Day. And those people annoy me. Like, I'm usually, yo, whatever makes you happy, makes me happy. But Valentine's Day is one of those days that, I tell myself, I'm telling myself that I cannot be with a girl who enjoys or makes a big fuss out of Valentine's Day. But that's not true. There's been times where if you can explain, not just explain, but communicate your passion or what makes it, like, sometimes it's just, oh my God, just seeing you take pleasure in it, that's like it's enough for me. I guess what I'm getting at, okay, I guess what I'm bringing up is I dealt with a woman who was, oh my God, it was a very toxic relationship. And to make it worse, this chick was into Valentine's Day. She was all into it. And because she was into it, I had to be into it and convince her, put on a fucking act that, no, I'm not enjoying Valentine's Day because you're forcing me to. I'm enjoying Valentine's Day out of my own volition. She was controlling. In her defense, it's not her fault that I didn't know the difference between, I struggled between knowing, making distinction between a loving relationship and a controlling relationship. But that's another story. All right. I say all this shit, just this whole setup is just so I can play this this clip from TikTok, which I found very clever. And again, I shared content from this person before, and it's called the Momo. Alo Ramomo. But here he goes. All right. So here we go. And yeah.
I wish I never met you.
Why?
You ruined love for me.
How so?
You set the bar too high.
Isn't that a good thing?
But how am I meant to find someone new now?
I don't understand.
Well, if it was a shitty relationship, I can write you off as an asshole.
So because it was genuine.
I'm afraid I'll never find that again. I mean, it hurt when you left.
I know.
And I just haven't been able to let anyone else in.
Why?
I think I'm afraid of being hurt again.
But you know what that does. It turns into you hurting yourself.
By depriving myself of new experiences.
Which leads to growth. I mean, you don't just fall off a bike and then say, fuck bikes.
No.
You try again.
But it's terrifying.
You know why love is awesome? Because it's scary. And the thrill
comes from the fear.
Just be afraid. We all are.
Be vulnerable.
Burn bright.
Get back with your ex.
What?
Who said that?
And don't try to recreate our relationship with someone new either.
What do you mean?
Let it die with the dignity it deserves.
You are an amazing girlfriend.
And she disappears.
I'm really happy I met you. You ready to go?
What the fuck was that?
I wish I never met.
Oops. That he's with the new girlfriend. The joke, like, I just ruined it. But whatever. It ends with he's talking to his new girlfriend. Yo, I really love this clip, man. This thing deserves more. Like, I, if I can nominate this guy, this clip for an award, I would do so. Shit, I'd probably burn the Oscars down if they don't win. By the way, I'm not really that violent. My words are more violent than my bark is biter. My bite, no, my bark. Oh my God, biter than the bark. I can't think right now, man. Okay, let me rush this thing. Let me get to my notes. You know what I love about this clip? Is it had me thinking of being in a, oh my God, fuck. I'm getting emotional, man. I'm fucking getting emotional. All right, okay. It had me thinking about the fact that I do fear. Like, I have all kinds of reasons. I'm not going to use the word excuses, but all kinds of, look, man, take it up with my therapist. But I'm going to use the word all kinds of reasons to why I am not in a relationship. I avoid relationships, all right? All kinds of reasons, and most of them feel justified. But one of them that this one made me think about is the fear of being with a good, in a good relationship, perfect one, and she moves on. It's one thing to be the one to be like, yeah, fuck this bitch. But it's another thing when it's like, goes great. Everything is perfect. Everything is not perfect, but everything is like, and she, because I could be very insecure, man. Like that, like, things going too well. Oh my God, am I talking too loud? Yeah. Things going too well and things goes great. And what this clip is saying is, that's part of the venture. Take that risk. Yes, take that risk of her crushing your soul. Sorry, I'm trying to swear not me. It's the idea of embrace the possibility that you're going to be. Sorry. I'm thinking of this last relationship that I was with. It was actually a shitty relationship, but I had convinced myself. Oh my God, talk about growth. Okay, I convinced myself that it wasn't going to get any better. It was as good as it got. It was a shitty relationship, right? I had to go into therapy to realize that, nah, dog, you dodged a bullet. But I remember believing that I wasn't going to do any better. I'm fucked. My hurt feeling, ego, all that combined. And so I had convinced myself that I was listening to R&B music of all the... I'm trying to think of... I'm going down. Yeah, because you ain't around. By the way, I'm sorry. That was Mary G. Blige that I was singing. My apologies to all you Mary G. Blige fans. Yeah, I remember I was living in an apartment, sitting on my futon. And, oh, my God. What's that song by Life Jenny? So I pay my child support like the judge told me to. And I learn from this. Hold on a second. What's the value? Goes learn from this. It takes me a while to make my point. Huh? I'm just gonna. I think that I'm doing this more for me. Learn from this by Life Jennings. Lyrics. She's been gone almost 2 weeks now. Tired as hell, but I can't sleep now. I miss my kids. Okay, I didn't have any kids. Dodge the bullet. I miss my kids, and I thought, and though I see them every day, I ain't the same. This big house. Okay, there you go. I remember. I connected this up. This big house is full of echoes. I'm thinking now maybe I should just let it go, cause it's too big just for me. Too many memories. So I pay my child support like the judge told me to. And I stay up all night drinking while I'm getting over you. Yeah, I had difficulty getting over this person. It's sad, but it's true. Don't know what else that I could do. Guess I pull my fucking heart out on this CD like a fool. You better learn from this. I don't want to be back there. I did not like the control another human being had for. I hated the fact that it felt like I needed this person in. Like, this attachment was driving me nuts. Luckily, I didn't do any stupid shit like, you know, show up to her house with a ghetto blaster, with a rated ghetto blaster, with a boombox, a large radio, and some corny shit. But I remember having difficulty letting go. I don't want to be back there. Now, what's amazing about this clip is, like I was saying, go back to this relationship, is I've never really had one of those relationships that was like, you know, you're like, oh my God, she was the best thing to have. She's the one who got away. But I have had one relationship. So going back to that relationship I was talking about, it was so bad. So bad. It was so bad. To this day, I still haven't forgiven myself. I've let go of, you know, of that person. Like, I'm not trying to get back to it. But I remember getting past the phase. Okay, maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm still struggling with growth. I remember getting past the phase of, okay, I got over this person. But I'm still stuck on, what the fuck were you thinking? Holy fuck. What's that song by Mary J. Blige? She goes, how can I love somebody else when I can't love myself enough to know when it's time to let go? And I'm like, yeah, man, holy fuck. I thought that was a safe thing to do. Yeah. Oh my God. Where I'm going with this story is I may not have had that relationship that made me like this gentleman had. That was amazing, but I have had that relationship that made me say, fuck love. Fuck all that. I ain't doing that shit ever again. Out of fear of I put my guards down and let another iteration of that crazy bitch back into my life. You know, it's as I'm explaining this, is I had a colleague, someone I know, messaged me and talk about how they're having problems with their relationship and they're going through it, and fuck. And on one end, I wanted to tell them that I was thinking of that relationship I had difficulty getting over and believing like this hurt feeling was going to be there forever. And now being like, holy shit, it's great. Like, it's what I'm saying is after the breakup, that moment after the breakup. Yeah. It's hard to see past that. You're convinced you're going to The only way I can fix whatever's going on inside is if I could get that person back into my life. Or, but the truth is, at some point, there's going to be a day when you look back and you realize that, holy shit, I haven't thought about them. That's my problem. I love being in that safe zone. It's like, yeah, man, I don't want to go back. I'm not going back. It's as scary as that scene in any of those scenes in The Walking Dead where they like escape a herd of nah, fucking worse than that. Fucking bad as that. I'm thinking of shout out to Harriet Tubman. It's Black History Month. Harriet Tubman, man, she freed herself from slavery and escaped. She escaped. And what does she do after? Go back in. Look, man, shout out to Harriet Tubman. There's no fucking possible way I'm going back to free more people. I don't care if that... But what about your mom? Eh, yeah, she'll figure it out. You know, she's resourceful. Yeah, man, I guess I'm comparing love to slavery. I got out. I ain't trying to go back in there. You at your... Anyway, all right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? I'm saying all this shit because it's going to somehow relate to Final Thoughts, okay? So let's jump to Final Thoughts. Yo, I had a lot of fun, man. I hope you all had fun with this segment, but I enjoyed having this... it was somewhat therapeutical, but it was also enjoyable revisiting these fucked up feelings. All right, let's jump to Final Thoughts and we get the fuck out of here. All right, let's go. There we go. Boom. Finally made it. Okay. What's up with today's title? Let me make sure I get all the details. So first, today's title comes from a track written by Naughty by Nature. I'm Tretched and performed by Tretched or whatever. Naughty by Nature. I remember the first time I heard that song and didn't like it, didn't get it, and then until my friends kept using the term expression, guard your grill, and it was like, oh, it means, because at the time, you know, I live in Canada, I wasn't familiar with the slang, English is my second language, so I'm like, what's guard your grill? So I'm thinking like, I was thinking, my Farming grill? What the fuck? Why would I need to guard my Farming grill? It was a weird title for me. And then my cooler friends were like, guard your grill, man, means yo, fuck, when you're in a fight, you gotta block your face. It's like, oh, your grill, okay, whatever. That's for the face. It's like, you Negroes in your term. Anyways. So let me show you, I got the basics out the way. So, song, Naughty by Nature, and that poetry that I shared at the beginning of the episode was the first verse from that song. To be honest with you, I was looking for an excuse to recite that verse, because holy shit, Merry Fistmist, oh my god, running this Merry Fistmist, come on, I love that line. Anyway, okay, let's get to the point. Why am I sharing this particular song? Why is this title, the title of this song, weighing on my head? Weighing on my mind. Okay. Lately, a lot of my recent therapy sessions, my therapist been introducing some concept, was trying to explain things to me. And every time she talks, all I'm hearing is Tretch reciting or Naughty by Nature reciting, guard your grill, knuckle up. Put them up, you ain't tough, guard your grill, knuckle up. I swung first, so what's up? Did I really remember the chorus? Hold on, I'm gonna recite the lines a lot here. He goes, catchy fans too. Yeah. She's talking, she's explaining some concept. Like recently she was explaining some concept about, I'm going to fuck up the terms, I'm not sure what it's called, but the whole manager, it's called breaking down, like your, when you think about the voice behind the machine, when you think about yourself, who you are, you look in the mirror, right? And this concept about the voice behind the machine, that the psyche, right? Anyways. And there's this model of one way you can look at this voice is You got the manager, you got the firefighter, and the exile. And the manager is the one who likes makes the plan to keep you out of trouble. Again, your therapist can better explain it to me. This is me dumbing it down, explaining the way I can understand. Your manager is the one who makes the plan that when you go out there, we're going to keep you safe. The firefighter is every time you fuck up, I kick in gears. And the exile is... I'm still unclear on the exile, but... when you're dealing with the public, your psyche, that there's a part of you that keeps you safe. There's a part of you that's been, your brain has made up to in this cruel world that keeps you safe from this cruel world, from navigating. It's like, it's not just enough to be like, oh, fire is hot. Don't touch that shit. Or, remember that time, you know, it's like gravity is dangerous. Hold on to the fucking rails. You know, it's not just that, but there's also like, yeah, don't trust a big butt in a smile. You can't trust a big butt in a smile. You know what I mean? Like that part that's like, I'm going to use the word algorithm. There's a lot of like algorithm in our minds, and the sole purpose of it is to keep you safe. And sometimes those algorithms overdo it. So getting back to guard your grill, there's been a lot of concept that I've been defensive against. And I'm like, oh, so you're trying to get me killed in this fucking hostile world. It's like, oh, you want me to jump in the ring? You want me to jump in the ring and keep my hands down? You want me to like not wear protective gear? You want me to like everything she's telling me is, yeah, I want you to go out into there, into that battlefield without a gun and show them your heart. What am I, fucking Gandhi? What am I, Martin Luther King? You want me to be nonviolent around these racist, crazy-ass crackers? Or, anyway, whatever, right? So, it kind of sounded like you're trying to turn me into a sucker. And the whole time is, guard your grill, knuckle up. I ain't the type to give up. Guard your grill, knuckle up. I swung first, so what's up? Guard your grill, knuckle up. Put them up. You ain't tough. Guard your grill, knuckle up. Now, maybe that should have been the title, but it was. At this point, I'm going to read what I wrote down. So I don't go off to, I'm in therapy and constantly hearing Naughty by Nature telling me guard your grill. Lately, therapy has been feeling like a plot to get me to put my guards down in this hostile world. It has me wondering whether... It has me wondering. It has me wondering whether, or maybe that's what my thoughts are evolving to, how I see relationships with other human beings. And whether I see them as confrontation, constant confrontation. Maybe that's my issue. Every relationship, any form of, not just relationship, every form of contact with another human being, relative, coworker, stranger, you the listener, it's just a confrontation. And I gotta guard my grill. See, I bring this up because, I'm thinking this through because, as a highly sensitive person, it's very, how'd I wrote down? It's every relationship has a potential for me to get hurt. And this is where, and I guess complicated, just to make it more interesting, it's not just being a highly sensitive person. It's also highly sensitive person who has trouble imposing boundaries. See, I grew up in a family where, at least that's what was, I mean, maybe it was, I was misinformed, or maybe that was not the intention, but the takeaway I got from everyone is, if you want me to believe you love me, you'll put down your boundaries. You won't have any boundaries. You'll allow me to trample your, like that was the notion I grew up with. So that's why imposing boundaries is a challenge for me. It's difficulty. So add highly sensitive, no boundaries. Of course the world would feel like a hostile place. I think about every, like, I think the reason why I'm always defensive is because of the reason, it's because the world feels more hostile than it actually is because, you know, it's, I'm kind of fragile. I hate using the word fragile, but I'm like, I mean, whatever. It is what, like Erykah Badu said, I'm a soft dude who doesn't like football. No, okay, joking aside. I'm learning. I'm still learning. And I'm not at the point where I can teach it. Right now, I'm just thinking things through out loud. I'm saying the major takeaway for me is, like, in order for me to be able to apply what you said, in order for me to put my guards down, I need to be more careful about, I need to be in a relationship or have closer relationship with people who I don't need to put my guards up, which has happened, which is what I meant by, well, part of the fun of hanging out with someone who was neurodivergent. Because they weren't constantly saying, oh, fuck, sit up straight. Oh, what the fuck? It's 1, 2, 3. How come you don't see, you know, how come you're always late? We were like, we're both fucked up. Okay, good. We were at peace with what made us fucked up while acknowledging the fact that, no, we're not fucked up. We just got to, like, okay. The best example I can use for someone with ADD, right? It's like, it's equivalent to, like, how I wear glasses. Without these glasses, I can't see the world like the average human being. I have to wear these corrective measures so I can be like, okay, all right, stop sign. I see a stop sign where when everyone else sees a fucking stop sign. Not when it's too late after I've run over your kid. Oh, that's a bad joke. Oh, that was a terrible joke. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm only pointing out, the whole point to this topic is just realizing how a lot of the reasons why some of the concepts were difficult for me to process, because, like, she's trying to explain her concept and all I'm hearing is put your guards down. And, like, it's going to be a while before I get out of that mindset, but I'm just saying, it's kind of interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting. You know, I'm going to, one last note is, I'm thinking of the first time I've heard Brené Brown. I didn't know who this woman was, but I just remember she comes out with a book or a podcast, TED Talk, called The Power of Vulnerability. And I was so triggered when I heard that title. And I remember, and I have to remind you, this was during my unenlightened days. I was not that, you know, I was a toxic male. I was a full-fledged member of the cult of masculinity. Cult of masculinity. The toxic cult of masculinity. And when I heard the title, The Power of Vulnerability, my first thought was, oh, great. Another woman is going to try to convince me that it's okay to be weak in this world, in this fucking vicious world. You ladies have no understanding of how fucked up this crazy world is. I remember telling myself that. Now, I don't know how I went from this toxic male to someone who's like, who rewatched that TED Talk. And it's close to being like a preacher. I'm like, yo, you need an apostle? I got you. For someone who understood it, I'm like, okay. I don't have to be all hard all the time. No, I could be a tough guy being acknowledging feelings, helping someone else get back on their feet. That could make me the tough guy. I mean, I'm not trying to be a tough guy, like, you know, to pick up chicks, but, like, this notion that that the only way you could convince that you're a strong man is by stepping on other men. I could be in the category of men who believe that shit is false. But getting back to it, I don't have a great conclusion. I don't have a conclusion to it. This really, the only point that I was getting at is, maybe my problem is I see the world as, or every interaction with other human as a confrontation. Even with friendly people. Even with people that I consider friends or I'm close with. Actually, no, that's what it is. That's what. In order for me and you to get along, the part of my brain that sees this as a confrontation needs to not be there. You know what? I think the bottom line, what I'm getting at is, or what I'm learning is, and tying it to that last part, what I was saying about relationship, I'm starting to realize there's a lot about relationships, interacting with other human beings, that I still need to learn. Everything that I thought was true, accurate, or whatnot, is under evaluation. But until then, I'm guarding my grill. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it. Okay, this concludes today's episode of, Shut Up Podcast. I welcome your feedback. You know, I love this topic so much that every episode, I'm like really serious when I say, no, I would really love to hear from you, especially if you happen to be neurodivergent, non-binary. Should I mention black? Yeah. Non-binary and a highly sensitive person. If you can relate to those themes, maybe you don't have to be all those three, but at least friendly, understanding. Oh, black too would help. Because our experience as a black, neurodivergent, non-binary, and highly sensitive person, yeah, it's a lot different, right? And of course, I'm not kicking out white people, but I'm just saying, my door is open. I really would love to hear your feedback and build on some of these ideas, because that's what it's all about, building on ideas. I learn from you, you learn from me, each one teach one. So I say all this shit to say that if you want to holler at me, you can find me on these TikTok streets using the @shutuppodcast.com. On Twitter, IG, and Threads, it's @shutuppodcast. But if you're really serious about finding me on these internet streets, just take a left, right, and go down to shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time. I don't think you were on mute when you said it that last time. I said shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed. Oh, that's on the website. Oh, I forgot to mention, if you go on the website to the show notes, they're broken down into four categories. The first three are the acts that I told you about, intro, news and random thoughts, and final thought. And the last one is other links. Other links is just random shit that I think you might find cool or worth. I believe they were worth sharing with the rest of yous. With that said, thank you for listening. As always, thank you for listening. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Sorry, I'm sitting up to play the final song. So thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. Did I say Happy VD Day already? Who cares?
I am your king now!